Excuse me, this is coordinator. I'd like to inform parties today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, please disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Chuck Gomes, so you may begin.
Thank you very much. Okay, welcome to everybody. And let me start off again by thanking everybody for all the hard work on this over the last month and a half or so. And we made some really good progress. Hopefully we can wrap it all up today because we really have to. Any changes to the agenda? Okay. Then here's our schedule for today and tomorrow, and then on 31st. First of all, our goal today is to finish our work and deciding on any final edits. And then, Liz, if at all possible, it would help us if you can make sure that those are all incorporated in the document as soon after this meeting as possible, and then let everyone on the list know when that's been done.
Sure.
So that then everybody has until close of business tomorrow on Wednesday by everybody's time except for Adrian to see if you find any content edits that need to be reconsidered, and please communicate those on the list. Okay, if it's a change in substance, I think at this stage it's better not to make the change in the Google document. If it's just a minor edit, go ahead and make it in the main document and just use whatever color you've been using to make your edits. I did a few of those today, in fact, on mine, but I did it in color so everybody could see what I did, so that in case I make any mistakes, you can catch me. So again, minor edits after our meeting today, and once Liz notifies us that the document, all the latest edits have been put in, then please take a look at that, and you're only going to have, you know, the 24-hour period, so close the business tomorrow. Basically, end of your day tomorrow is what I'm basically saying. So that first thing on Thursday morning, then, between Liz and I, if Liz needs my help, we can make decisions on any final edits that need to be made and finalize the document and send it off to the council before the council meeting on Thursday. Not as if we're expecting the council to have read it by then. Obviously, it's too big a document for that, but really want to make sure we have it in their hands before that meeting, and then we can at least talk about that briefly in the meeting on Thursday, letting them know it's there and so forth, and encourage them to review it in detail. More detailed time will be spent then in New Delhi on that.
Yeah, Chuck, I thought I had you down. A little bit more of a talk through during the meeting.
I'm more than willing to do that. I just know that, you know, obviously not going to be able to go through a great deal. Probably could go through the executive summary depending on how much time you give me. So, and I forget what we allocated for that.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. I have to go check.
Yeah, you know, I'll be flexible on that, Aubrey. If there's time to go through the executive summary, I think that would be good. Not for discussion purposes, because I think we start. Veering off of the discussion, it'll take too much time, but at least maybe whet people's appetite and get them to read the whole document.
Right. Basically, what we've normally been doing on these things is someone does a walkthrough, and then we do some clarifying questions if people have it, but try to save the discussion for future time.
No, that's great. Yeah, and I'll be ready for that, and of course, you're welcome, and anybody else that's on the council is welcome to jump right in on that to contribute. Any questions on that? So that's our schedule today, tomorrow, and then Thursday. So now, as important as it is for everybody to do this in the next 24 to 48 hours, keep in mind that until the council actually approves the document, there's still opportunity for additional changes. In fact, some counselors that aren't on this group may have some. So it's not as if this is a do-or-die deadline, but certainly we would like to have what we present to be as complete and thorough as possible. And I've asked those that couldn't be on the call to make sure that they try and review what we do today, tomorrow as well, so that we can, they have the opportunity for input as well. And Edmund assured me that he had gone to the remaining part of the document today and taken a look at it and put any comments that he had in there. Okay, any questions?
Only one thing I want to add to that. When Liz sends it out to the GNSO list, I think we should also put it in the draft directory.
Good. Yeah, good point. And Liz, are you able to do that directly, or Marilyn, do you need to help us on that?
I can work with Glenn to do it.
Okay, is Glenn, Glenn's just not available today.
That's right, she had other...
Tomorrow. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember now.
She had a better offer tonight, but...
Yeah, well, I'm deeply offended by that. But.
I think it was just an earlier hearing.
Okay. So Liz is going to be our editor again today, and we're going to go back to the document. Now, keep in mind that I will be using a cut and paste a document that I cut and pasted a couple hours ago, and will not be looking at the live document so that I don't get bounced all over the place and lose my place. but you're welcome to either do that for yourself or look at the live document. Where I want us to start, I'm actually going to backtrack a couple places just to call your attention to some things and make sure they're okay. I want you to first of all look at Section A in the first big paragraph where there's a list of, I think, six items or so. And in item number 5, if you look at what's up there now, you'll see some of the, I don't know what it's, blue-green text that I...
It's a lovely teal.
Yeah, teal. There we go, teal. It's teal. I couldn't think of the name. The teal text. I think that's a non-material change, but I thought that because we really haven't talked about the objection process and as it relates to the new TLDs, that I probably should set the context a little bit better. So please take a look at what I did there and see if that's okay.
The only thing I've met is something to sort of say that I'm the only one that has edited the process. In other words, putting a among others, or, you know, gives the GAC and CNSO, you know, and others standing
that's
as objectors so that, you know, countries don't go, oh, but I'm not a member of the GAC. Can I object on my own? So just that it's not exclusive.
Yeah, very good. So in other words, you're suggesting after CCNSO just to add and others.
Right. If it was a diplomatic document,
yeah,
we'd say inter alia, but in this case, among others.
Sounds good to me. Okay?
Okay, done.
That's okay. All right. Then jumping down in the document to... just almost to where we left off last week, and you'll see if you it's going to be we're in Section B now, and if you go back to where the main item is, should an ID and CCTLD string be meaningful, and then under B, I had Edmund had. Suggested a change that we didn't get in our meeting, and so you'll see there again in the teal text that I suggested that we consider putting what Edmund suggested in there, which is the ID and TLD string introduced should be for the sole purpose, etc. thoughts or discussion on that? Do you think we should add that or no? Or modify it? Okay. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. Then, Liz, is that clear what needs to be done there?
Yes.
Okay. Good. And then I think that brings us up to an item that we were right in the middle of when we ended last time, which was number of characters in the string. So if you go to there, And I'm just going down to okay. We have then, hold on one second, I just need to flip back over. Oh, okay, so we're under B then. If so, I'm sorry, we're now under number of characters in the string, as I previously said, sorry about confusing myself. And A is, should all IDN CCTLD strings be of a fixed length, et cetera, on that one. Are there any additional, and what we're doing in this part of the document, in fact, if people don't object, what I'd like to do is go through this part of the document fairly rapidly, because I had asked each of you to kind of review it and I'd then be ready to identify anything. So rather than going through item by item to save time, if no one objects, I'd just like you to call attention to anything, any changes that you noted. And what I did earlier today when I went through this, there were a couple places that I noted some things in the teal text. So if you just kind of scroll down, you'll see the things I caught. One of them I highlighted in yellow because I think it's a sentence that we can delete because of the fact that we covered it in the main paragraph, I think. Those are the things I found. Did anybody else find any others that need to be adjusted? If not, then I think the first thing I noted was just a formatting thing that I'll let Liz hassle with. I couldn't figure out how to do it in the Google document.
I think there are a couple things that are harder to edit in the Google document, and some of that indentation that I noticed.
I couldn't get this one indented that one.
I wouldn't try to do that in the Google. I'd say that once we get to the end of this editing, you know, to put out the clean copies, feel free to pull it into, you know, your favorite Word editor.
I won't say my favorite Word editor on this call, but I will do that, and then the one other thing.
That's the way I did.
I thought that was very diplomatic. And then the other thing I noticed was, for example, we have a footnote early on, and there doesn't appear to be a way to do footnotes. There may be, but I couldn't discern it. So, thanks. I will do that at the end, but I will wait till the very end so we have, you know, are only doing that formatting once.
In fact, you can go ahead. I think it's once. People, you know, as soon as end of the day tomorrow comes and people have had time to provide anything via the list or any edits directly in the Google document, at that point, then I think we could go ahead and convert it so that we're ready to go then on the document things.
I would actually suggest that at the end of this meeting would be a fine time for Liz to take, or Liz and or you, to take control of the document and us to stop changing it on the fly.
Anybody,
and send the list any, you know, I suggest we change these words to those words, but since we won't be doing another meeting where we talk through it, it might be time to have a tighter control of the pen.
And I'm okay with that if nobody else objects. Then instead of doing any even minor edits that you might find on the document, after this meeting, once Liz gives us the go-ahead, then communicate all changes, even minor edits, via the list. Okay?
Is that okay with you, Liz, as a way to do
it? It's fine with me. Let me just ask the group, though, do switch this over to, you know, a word processing program, does track changes work, or does that not work for everyone's compatibility?
I personally think it makes it much easier for people to see what's done without being as time-consuming if you use track changes, but one approach to doing that, too, is if people don't like track changes, you can give them a clean copy, too, if they'd rather not have the track changes.
But I would expect that the edits would be pretty minimal at that point, so
yeah,
I could produce it in, you know, a Word program and then, you know, hopefully...
And we're probably not going to have time for... in fact, I would say it's quite definite we will not have time on Thursday morning to go back and have the group check it and see. We'll communicate to them a red line that shows the changes that were made, but you and I are going to have to make a command decision. Here's what we're sending forward. And if we miss something or the group disagrees, we can always come back and deal with that through the council processes.
Hey, Chuck, this is Tina.
Go ahead, Tina.
Quick question for you. What would you like to do in terms of, like, for example, right now I'm just, like, staring at it on the screen. It says a single character in a non-ASCII script, you know, I know we all know what that means, but it's terminology-wise, that's incorrect. Do you want me to take a look at the document for that, and if so, and make changes for stuff like that, or do you have a different plan for
it? Yeah, feel free to do that, Tina. One of the struggles is just like the term IDN CCTLDs. It's really not a precisely accurate term.
Right, I remember that.
What we need to do is to decide whether it's better to use the less precise term or to try and be precise, and I'm comfortable with your judgment in that in terms of the audience, the broad audience that's going to look at this. If we can state it more accurately and you think it's going to be clear to the average reader, no problem. Or if you think that we can state it precisely with maybe a footnote, that's okay too.
Okay.
So no, I welcome what you're doing, and just send those via the list, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Tina. Now, if you take a look at under number of characters in the string, item A, there's a long response that we have there. And, of course, Liz, for the sake of finalizing this document for the council, we will leave the lead-in to all of our responses as proposed GNSO response, because until the council approves it, it won't be a GNSO response. Ultimately, that proposed mm-hmm. will be deleted. But now, if you look at the very bottom of that, that long paragraph, you'll see that there's a sentence there that if a variable string length is introduced for IDN CCTLDs, it should not also be introduced for ASCII CCTLDs. I think we covered that if you look up at the first few sentences of the main response. So I don't think that's needed anymore, but please correct me if you think I'm wrong.
I don't think it's a bad thing to repeat. But you're right, it is redundant. Sometimes redundancy is good.
Well, if we do repeat it, there probably should be, it should be probably separated from the main paragraph just because it doesn't flow very well at that point either. What's the inclination of the group?
I mean, you could always say, you know, as stated earlier.
Right.
If you really want to say it twice.
Well, in one place, it's being said. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I like the idea of being very emphatic about it. We repeat. Just in case you missed it the first time.
Anybody opposed to repeating it?
No.
Okay, then why don't we, and then just add a line space there so it becomes a new paragraph by itself, and just say, as stated earlier, if a variable string and so on. Is that okay?
Got it.
Okay, good. Now, I believe that other than minor edits, if you look real closely, you can find a minor edit or two in that teal text, but they were very minor. Like, I think I added an S in one place to PLDs.
And I'll pick those up.
Yeah. So,
correct them.
Okay. Now, so then that means we're okay on the changes that we made last week unless somebody identifies any others right now. Okay. All right. Now, we ended our meeting last week right in the middle of under section 2 of their issues paper, Introduction of IDN CCTLDs, the question, what precedent should be given to CCTLDs in the IDN implementation process? So if you want to go to there in the document, that's where we will pick up for today. And and move from there. So we're right in the middle of that one now. If you look at the document, you'll see that I made a minor, I think, non-material edit in that first paragraph where I said the GNSO worked diligently and openly for over a year and a half. It was previously worded like the year and a half just ended, and obviously we actually ended that some time ago. That's the only reason I did that. So what we need to decide now, and we worked on this a little bit last week, but we didn't finish. So we need to look at our total response here, including the avoidance of ASCII squatting, which I think we may have briefly talked about last week from the IDN working group, and see if there are any other changes in our total response there. And I'll be quiet for a minute and let you take a look at all of that, because it's a fairly lengthy response.
Chuck, this is Tina. I'm sorry, but you actually kind of lost me. I don't know what section we're looking at.
Okay, if you go in the, are you in the Google document, Tina?
Yes.
Okay. There's
for 4.1.1.
Yeah, if you find 4.1.1,
okay.
In bold,
yeah, back,
we're
back
in that page. Response right there. That's
okay,
good.
Great. I was right there. I just wasn't sure then. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I know. By the way, you know, this is kind of a digression. But in the GNSO, the more we can do in great documents to create easily referable numbering systems, the better, because this issues paper is a classic example where it's very awkward to refer to parts of the document and make comments or suggestions or things like that.
And to fix that, maybe, I mean, because I know that you can put out something, at least in the draft version, where lines are numbered.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We can't introduce section numbers because they didn't, but we could put it out with numbered lines so
yeah.
That when we're talking about it, it's easy.
Good point. Oh, it's probably a little late in the process for us to take advantage of that now, but that's a good
yeah.
idea for the future and in our...
Well, it might be good for the next version that comes out. And as for once Liz takes control of the document, when we're talking about it in council and such, to have a line-numbered version.
That's a good point.
I'm happy to do that. I think it's an easy thing, as I recall.
Okay.
If it's not
right.
an easy thing, I don't want to do it.
Right. If it becomes a not easy thing,
I think it is.
Ignored
though.
It.
I think it
is easy.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take this response here to what precedent should be given to CCTLDs in the IDN implementation process. Is any suggestions on the first paragraph? One where I made the minor edit. Okay. Then going to the next paragraph, the GNSO IDN working group.
Can I ask one? I'm slow. On the last sentence, I'm not sure if it's ambiguous or not. The process should not be put on hold for IDN GTLDs. Now, what you mean to say is that IDN GTLDs should not be put on hold because of a CCTLD, correct?
Correct. And I'm okay with that change.
Or maybe we could change it just to say the process should not be put on hold for IDN TLDs.
I was thinking that, right, in general. Right, unless there's a technical reason.
Although there are...
It follows from your previous sentence.
Yeah, it's following from your previous sentence. And notice we talk about IDN CCTLDs separately up above. The idea there was to be very explicit in both cases, rather than just making... We kind of start off with the general sentence, I think, and show.
Right. So anyhow, if I was going to make the sentence unambiguous, I would say the IDN GTLD process should not be put on hold unless there are technical reasons for doing so.
I like that.
Because and that just gets rid of the ambiguity
of much better.
The for is for whom.
Good. Okay.
And could I just
yes, go ahead.
Very minor edit, but the preceding sentence. The GNSO has worked diligently and openly the last year and a half. I mean, time has passed since we first drafted this. So for a year and a half, I would suggest instead of the last year and a half.
That's the part that I changed. I think you're looking at an older version.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's now for over a year and a half.
Yeah, and you're welcome to change it further, but that's, I had
sorry.
The same concern. Okay? All right, then the next paragraph, the one that contains the 411 from the IDN Working Group, any comments on that? Hearing none, and then we'll go to the, and then tied into that paragraph is with 411 is that what looks like a separate paragraph below it, if there are technical reasons for delaying introduction of IDN GTLDs, et cetera. And go ahead and take a look at the very last paragraph that's not indented there. Both ccTLDs and gTLD users have needs for IDN TLDs and so on. Make sure. Now, that one we haven't talked about in quite a while, so take a look carefully at that and make sure that we're all comfortable with what it says. I think I still am, but...
Chuck Sidrin.
Go ahead.
We had this discussion yesterday, actually. Is man-hour still an appropriate term?
You mean from a...
politically correct point of view?
Gender point of view?
Yeah.
We certainly don't need to have man there, do we?
I'm just being careful, as I got caught out yesterday. I got caught out yesterday in a similar circumstance.
Not a bad point. I would just delete man and just say many hours and financial resources.
Yeah, I think it works better.
Thanks.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Okay.
Anything else in that paragraph or anywhere on this response? Okay. Let's go on then to who selects the IDN ccTLD string in the absence of a mandated list. and question A there is what are the criteria and policies to determine who can submit a request for the designation of an IDN ccTLD? Now, there's some good suggestions here, and I think we're probably going to change what the original response is. But and, in fact, Avery proposes a response that might replace what we have there. What's the thinking? Should we just use Avery's proposed response and replace what's there? In the black check.
Well, there's, I mean, I'm in favor of it, but there is the comment about not all ccTLDs being members of the CCNSL. Now, of course, that may be covered in the prior rules approved by the board based on. So, but, you know, that would be the only is how do we take into account, I mean, obviously I like my suggestion, but how do we take into account Adrian's comment?
And I guess we can ask the question, is that something we really can adequately take into account? Obviously, it's an issue, in fact, on the center list right now. There's some discussion going on about what the value is of being a member of the CCNSO and so forth.
Chuck?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just in response to that, I think that... We tend to have covered that because I did bang on about that throughout the entire document, and I think we covered it very well by referring to the GAC and ccTLD managers and things. I think that in our proposed response, it seems like an appropriate activity of CCNSO, ccTLDs, and GAC. We were wording it better to cover it before. I'm just not sure my point's so relevant anymore.
Well, what if
of course, we could just bring that down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, replace CCNSO for CCNSO, the ccTLDs, and the GAC should be able to make that selection, blah, blah, subject to the prior rules.
I think that covers, I'm just having a quick look back through the document to see where we refer to, because I know I mentioned it a couple other times very early on. So just for the time being, I think that more than covers it. But I just wanted to I guess, expand the community wider than the CCNSO, because I realized that wasn't all-encompassing.
That's good.
Yep.
Okay, so... saying in the absence of a mandated list or a rule that the CCNSO, CCTLDs, and the GAC should be able to.
Yeah.
And then delete the other entry.
Yeah. And are you okay? Olga, you had a comment there.
No, yes, but it's an old comment, and
yeah,
I agree.
Right.
I agree with the new writing.
Thanks. Okay. Anything else on A?
So, which is the final wording?
In the absence of a mandated list or a rule by which an intrinsic list is determined, the CCNSO, the CCTLDs, and the GAC should be able to make the selections subject to prior rules approved by the board based on the recommendations of the ICANN community.
Perfect.
Yeah, I like
it. Yeah. And can I just make one more suggestion? I'm not sure mandated is also politically correct. Can we have a look at another word? I'm joking. Thanks. Keep moving. Sorry.
Don't make me laugh, Adrian. It hurts my throat. Okay.
You do sound a little worse for wear, Dave.
Yeah. Well, my old age, I seem to get colds more often. So, anyway, B. Tool development by.
Hold on. This is Tina. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So you guys went beyond the members of the CCNSO, but do you also want to go beyond the members of the GAC?
That's the point.
See, Chuck, I just found the word I want. It's ICANN community is what we've been using. Instead of, I just want to see whether it works here, though. Just hang on one second.
I don't think I think you need to be more specific here that it's the CC, now if you were to say the CCTLD community, but see, then does that automatically involve the GAC? It depends who you talk to.
So another, Tina, would you like to add a CCNSO, the CCTLDs, and the GAC, in cooperation with the territorial partners or some such thing? Is that what you're saying? So if the territorial partner is a non-member.
No, I was just mostly thinking that there are governments that are not members of the GAC.
Right. And they would be the territorial partner in the case of their TLD, their CCTLD.
Well, but there's countries, too, not just territories that have...
Yeah, but we're staying away from the word country, haven't we, all the way through, and we've used territorial authority.
Territory as a broad grouping to include...
It includes country.
Okay.
And it's not for us to decide who's a legitimate country.
Do you think that that's a good addition, Tina?
Since you went beyond the CCNSO, which I think is a really good addition, I just thought maybe you needed to expand on the GAC as well. So, totally
so maybe you say in cooperation with the relevant territory authorities?
Yeah.
I think that's good. Is that all right, Tina?
It absolutely works for me, yeah.
Good. Thanks. Okay, are you with us, Liz?
Yes, done.
Can we move ahead to B? Will develop the criteria and policies for determining the designation of an IDN CCTLD. And I suggested a couple changes in there, but and there's some comments. Maybe before we talk too much about the comments, Aubrey, re-explain the 111 formula for us.
Okay.
One.
I think we've moved beyond that. Yeah, but it's one... CC,
one script.
One script, one name, one script per entry in the ISO list.
Right, okay. I was having trouble remembering what it was, too, because we did move on. But anyway, I thought that would be helpful, at least, to see the context. Now, I think we want to, include the GNSO in this response, as I suggested. Depends what we actually say, I guess. And then I did suggest a change, I think before, that the word delegating is more appropriate for IANA rather than issuing or whatever was there before. Because the IANA doesn't make any decisions in and of itself as to what the CCTLD string is. But they make decisions with regard to the delegation of the string after that decision's already made. That's the distinction I was trying to make. Now, Aubrey, why don't you talk about your comment there?
and how it might be incorporated or replaced or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I think I was just trying to rephrase it, not make a comment.
Well, I mean, and so go ahead and suggest how you, I mean, how you, are you suggesting that what you have there replaces the text?
I think that's what I was suggesting at the time, but the other one has developed beyond there now. In other words, yeah, I was basically putting it in the same language. First of all, technical protocol, that's out. That's the IETF and its processes and procedures in terms of other policies. And I took out the non-technical. In terms of policies related to designation, then again, I had the CCNSO there, and I don't know if we want to extend that one again.
Well, CCNSO, with regard to policymaking,
that would be the CCNSO.
That would be the CCNSO. Yeah. Now, we go on to say, with input from stakeholders, we say sovereign government. Do we want to say territories instead of sovereign governments?
Territory authorities?
Local communities and language communities? And do we want the GNSO in there? Does it even go there then?
See, that's why I was basically going back to our standard formula of they get to do it subject to the rules made up by the board. Now, those rules can and should include consultation with everyone, et cetera, but not getting into that specificity of it is what I was trying to do.
What do others think here? One of the problems we get into here is we're mixing, there's two things that come into play. In other places, we've been more explicit maybe in separating them than we are right here, and I think that's part of what Aubrey's trying to do. The actual decision of what becomes a CC or a G is one thing. Once that decision is decided, the policy work then is defined for whichever SO it applies to. Now, we come back to what's the question really asking. Who will develop the criteria and policy for determining the designation of an IDN CCTLD? I personally don't think that they're necessarily asking whether or not what a CC is, but rather once you define that through the broader ICANN community, then, and obviously they're not making that assumption, but then you it's you know who's going to develop the criteria at that point then for what they actually do allow as an IDN CCTLD.
Yeah, this stretches further than selecting the CCTLD strings. I mean, this is appointing the actual manager. So it also stretches into the ICP-1 and such
well,
rules.
Not this question in particular, but the whole line of questions.
Well, the designation of an IBM CCTLD is, it reaches further than the CCTLD string.
But do you think so?
I think so.
Why do you think that?
Designation of an IBM CCTLD? Isn't that more than just the selection of the string?
I'm not sure they really meant more than that.
I don't know.
What are some of the rest of you think? But it's okay if we cover our bases, because I think that's what Aubrey is trying to do.
Yeah, that's what I think we need to do. I think that sometimes there's some ambiguities about words, and if we just cover it and sort of say, we think that for this it's them, for this it's them, for this it's them, and so perhaps taking what I've done and adding your last sentence, currently the process for delegating is coordinated, you know. and add that sentence to what I put, and then you've covered all the bases.
Hey, Chuck, this is Tina. I don't necessarily think that they meant anything beyond the string, and the reason for it is that, you know, countries historically, you know, haven't really wanted to have anyone else make any decisions around how they deal with their registrations under the CCTLD. So I don't necessarily think that they want to go beyond that here as well. But I don't think that Avery's addition is really going, you know, so much further that that would be a problem for the response from the GNSO.
Thanks, Tina. As you can tell, I think the same thing, but I'm okay with covering our bases here. And so, Avery, I think what I heard your suggestion to be is to take yours and add the last sentence that starts with currently up above, and that becomes the response. Any problems with that by anyone?
So, well, are we leaving the first sentence just to be clear?
No, you don't need it. I think it's covered in her first. There's not very much difference
between them.
But no, her first sentence is the same as you, so I was going to leave.
Yeah, you could leave it, right.
Right. And
right.
It's only the second sentence that changes.
Yeah. Right. And then the third sentence stays with the addition of the delegating.
Yep.
Got it.
Okay.
Done.
Moving on to C. How will such issues as competing requests, both domestic and international, be dealt with? Weren't any comments on that one. I don't know if that's Aubrey. Did you add Aubrey added territorial authorities, right?
I think I was just doing a substitution of language. Or no, maybe I wasn't. Maybe let me look at it. It just bounced on me.
I think it's a substitution of language.
Yeah, no, I was just substituting local sovereign government for territorial authorities.
Oh, so instead of...
And as I put in brackets, so that meant take one.
Okay, so we could eliminate local sovereign government and just use territorial authorities.
That's what I was suggesting.
Anybody have a problem with that?
And that's just consistency.
That's consistent with what we've been doing. I'm okay with that.
Okay? Got it.
Going on to D, that's pretty straightforward, I think that it applies. Any disagreement with that? Now we go then to who are the appropriate actors? Adrian, you said delegates. I didn't know what you meant by delegates.
Because the delegate is not always in the CCNSO.
So CCTLD managers, that's what you mean, then?
Yeah. So, sorry, it shouldn't be a comma between delegates. It's more like one, you know, you can use...
So are you saying CCTLD managers or delegates, or...
Yeah. CCTLD managers or delegates, meaning the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So should I put both, or...?
I would put one, but depending on which way you want to, which wording. Could be CCTLD delegate or CCTLD manager. Tina, maybe there's a better response to you.
Maybe we could use individual CCTLDs.
Yeah?
Thank you. Adrian, I think either one of your suggestions are fine. CCTLD managers may be the more normal terminology for that. I don't know.
And it just gets added to the string anywhere?
I would put it towards the before registrants and potential registrants.
Got it.
Okay. And do we want to eliminate the word sovereign?
Yeah, I was looking at that too, Chuck.
Just put governments, or maybe governments or territories.
Well, in Avery used earlier territorial authorities. Maybe that's more appropriate.
So go with territorial authorities instead of sovereign governments. So, Liz, what you want to read that one back to us?
Sure. Proposed GNSO response. CCNSO, a lot of acronyms. CCNSO, GNSO, SSAC, GAC, ALAC, RSSAC, IANA, CCCLG, managers, comma, registrants and potential registrants, IETF, ISO, territorial authorities, the community most directly served, and organized language communities.
The full alphabet soup.
Yeah, I think it works. It's good.
Okay. Anything else on that? What are their roles? Now, you know, there's some good edits that have been made there that I think were okay. In a few cases, some brackets, you know, we need to make some decisions, I guess, on the bracketed items, but I highlighted in yellow at least a couple areas where also I think we need to decide what to do. But let's start off with the first brackets there that Aubrey put in, subject to prior rules. So that's not a replacement. That's
an
addition,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a qualifier.
That's a policy making for IDNCCTLDs subject to prior rules. Blah blah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's consistent.
And then the one for GNSO was GNSO for everything else.
Yeah. You know, I caught that. I thought that was okay.
Just wondering about allocated IDNCCTLDs that are not within the remit of the CCNSO or something.
That's okay. Yeah, I mean, that may be better than allocated. Any disagreement with that?
I like that better.
Okay. Do we want to really even get into that next question you asked there, Aubrey? At this point, does it complicate it a little bit too much?
That's right. I hadn't meant allocated there. I had meant apportioned. But anyway, you mean the whole thing about should all participate?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about what are roles. So the roles of those guys is to participate in the original recommendations concerning apportionment and then continuing as a source of input and comment on the SOs and their policy-making functions. And as when we're asking for the roles of SAC, GAC, ALAC, RSEC, those guys should all participate. So basically, I was putting that in as what their role is. Their role is to participate in the first act of apportionment, and then later as continuing source of input and comment.
Isn't that true of everyone on this list? Why would we single it out for them?
Because
advisory committees.
I think because of the previous one, we had who are the appropriate actors and then what are their roles. You're right. You could just sort of say, I don't know. I would say it looked like we had started on sort of a laundry list of for each actor or class of actor, what was their role.
Yeah, and I suspect we're maybe getting to a point where we're giving them so much detail that it becomes less useful. So either we just list, we could make a couple general statements that, you know, we could start off with all of the following, the role of all of the following bodies includes, analysis, that may not work.
I guess what I was doing is I was taking what was there previously, and I didn't indicate it correctly, but as opposed to just saying they're advisory committees, I was opening up what it means to be an advisory committee. You know, we could just go back to sort of say those guys function as advisory committees. though we are trying to give them slightly more standing in this original apportionment discussion.
And maybe we need to kind of take this and restructure it completely and maybe start off by we believe that all of the following that all of the following should be involved in the role of supporting organization designation for ID and TLDs. I'm having trouble with my wording, but and then we could go on and say beyond that, then it narrows, right? The roles, once those apportionment decisions are made, then the roles of a lot of these bodies become smaller. Is that true?
They're different. Is the advice of input and comment smaller? I don't know. It's different.
Yeah.
One way I started it was to say we believe that all of the following should be involved as follows. And then it would enable you to, you know, to specify how each one should be involved if you want to distinguish.
You could even make it a bulleted list so it was clear.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a much better format for this because it's grown considerably.
Yeah, it's an awkward run-on multitude of clauses sentence.
Chuck, it's Adrian. With respect, I think you're right. I think everybody needs to be involved in the apportionment, as Avery's saying. But then once you get down, once that's taken care of, you're going to turn to bodies like the – and I noticed that the CCTLD managers aren't in that at the moment because we added it on the last question, so that'll need to be added in or whatever terminology we use. But them and the CCNSO, for example, their direct experience in managing domain names may be a role that, you know, by providing knowledge around and experience around their current role as managers of, you know, direct managers of. So I think that they sort of differentiate themselves as opposed to all those other groups as they're directly related in managing or administering the namespace.
Yeah, okay, so what we've got then is, Liz, read that lead-in sentence again.
Yeah, so the lead-in is, we believe that all of the following should be involved as follows, and then I'm bulleting the list in mid-bullet here.
Wasn't there an overarching comment that we do believe that all of the following should be involved in the apportionment? I thought I heard that.
Oh, okay.
And maybe more specifically than
and
involved
specifically.
In...
yeah, I think that works much better. Even if you take average sentence there, because I'm pretty sure that applies to the CCNSO and GNSO, the purple one, should participate in the original recommendations concerning the apportionment of IDN TLDs and then continue as a source of input. So I think that up to there, that's your general statement right there, isn't it?
I think
why is that specific just to those four groups? I think that's all-encompassing.
Yeah, that was my point earlier, and I think that we've come up with a way to resolve that so that starts off, it applies to all of these, because the whole community should be involved in that decision.
And should they also be in a continuing source of input and comment, the whole community, or no?
Sure, that's okay.
So why don't we put that, we believe that all of the following should be involved in the apportionment and continue to be involved as a source of input.
Well, for each one of the entities or categories of entities like advisory committees, we're going to have a little bit of a description of what their role is beyond the apportionment. So it's okay to, I think, leave that there.
Do you want to leave the source of input under the advisory committees continuing specifically?
I think so. Otherwise, you might not have anything there for them.
And that is specifically what they're there to do.
Okay. So I will say will continue as a source of input and comment.
Well.
Or should continue?
Let's make them parallel. Consistency there. In other words, so we're referring to the CCNSO as a policymaking body, the GNSO as a policymaking body, advisory committees as a providers of input of ongoing input or whatever, just so that they're all follow the same pattern, whether it be a noun or a verb or whatever. And the first two we use nouns, right? A policy making body. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. And now, what is the MA for ISO 3166?
Managing authority, I think.
Oh, managing.
I thought it was the maintenance agency.
A maintenance agency,
Right. Why don't we spell that out so it's clear, if it needs to be there.
Well,
also, for sovereign governments, we're going to take territorial authorities when appropriate, like Aubrey suggested, right?
Chuck, this is Tina. I actually had a question for you guys on that last sentence, for the non-ICANN entities and so forth. First of all, I'm not quite sure what the non-ICANN entities are. And secondly, the role between, I don't know what the role is between IDNs and the Unicode Consortium, for example. I don't think providing that example makes that clear.
Well, the IDN protocol relies on the Unicode Consortium's work, right?
Well, it's based on Unicode,
mm-hmm.
but that does not clarify what is the role of the Unicode Consortium members and IDNs.
So that may not
does
be
it?
A very good analogy.
It wasn't clear to me what that means.
Well, what is that? Maybe the whole sentence is a problem.
Well, maybe you can start with what are the non-ICANN entities? Because
well,
to me that's also not clear. Is that ISO? Is it, how far up the list do you go?
And in fact, what really is a non-ICANN entity? Because ICANN's open to the whole world, right?
Right.
Good point.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to specify some of the latter listed entities' role, but I don't think it's helping.
Does that last sentence, both parts of it, really accomplish anything here?
Probably worthwhile mentioning the four other entities, like since we have a list here, like ISO 3166 MA and Unicode Consortium will have important roles to play. Or something like that, just to mention them rather than trying to draw analogies.
Well, the Unicode Consortium's role when it has to do with IDNs is included in the work that the IETF is doing. So, I would be very careful about adding them as a separate entity.
Okay.
Well,
my suggestion
is that
we delete that. I suggest we just delete from four of the non-ICANN entities.
I agree.
I agree. It's a good idea because we're talking about the internet community, so everybody's there.
We haven't mentioned them in the answer to A either. Just to stay consistent with our response in A.
When in doubt, cut.
So it's the whole sentence, though, not just that first phrase, right? It's the whole sentence.
Yeah, the whole sentence.
Okay, thanks.
Four lines there, just about. Also, did you add CCTLD managers or whichever term we used up in A?
A separate bullet for CCTLD managers?
Yeah.
I did not.
And what do we want to say about their role?
I think Adrian had something.
Hey, can you just... I think...
Running it.
Yeah, I was going to sort of put them with... you know what, they're separate. So give them give them a separate point, and then just put their experience, let me wordsmith this a little. Their role would be to convey their experience in managing the namespace or in managing CCTLD namespace, something like that. I don't know, someone will do better than me.
Right, provide advice based on experience managing domain names.
Yeah, and you can put direct experience.
Now, so
that on direct experience.
So that we don't dwell on this one too long because we still got a long ways to go. especially when you consider we've got to do the executive summary. Let's make sure everybody, you know, between now and 24 hours from now, takes a good look at this paragraph so that we can all catch things, because if we try and be too fine here, we're not going to meet our goal of finishing. So.
And if you could just restate what should follow CCPLD managers, because I had to switch phones real quick. So.
Oh, okay.
Avery, do you want to take a shot?
Right, yes. Provide advice based upon their direct experiences. Their direct experience as managers of
the mainland, or the main space.
Right.
The domain space?
I think the main name.
Yeah, either one.
I think domain names is better.
Got it.
Because this is larger than the single name that any of them may.
Anything else on this before we go on? Liz, do you have what you need? Are you comfortable?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go on then to C. I think C is pretty straightforward. Are there any comments? Anybody disagree with that? That takes us then to Section 3, Delegation of IDN CCTLDs. And the first question is, do existing CCTLD delegation policies apply to the delegation of IDN CCTLDs? Notice that Edmund thinks that our basic answer should be no to start this off.
I agree with it. I like it.
And so I wanted to call attention to that first of all.
I agree with that as well. The existing CCTLD delegation was done in such an ad hoc and organic manner that you don't want to follow that precedent whatsoever. So the short answer is no.
So we start off by saying no, and then would we follow then with Aubrey's sentence? And then what was there before becomes a third sentence, if you count no as one sentence. So in other words, it would say no.
No.
After apportionment of IDN TLDs and the establishment of principles for such delegation by the board based on the recommendation of the ICANN community. Oh, let's see. That's not a. Oh, okay. Well, that's supposed to be a comma, huh? This becomes primarily a decision for ICANN, so with consultation with other.
Yes, I don't like when.
Say no.
Yeah, I think to say no, because you're opening a can of worms, Chuck, when you get to this primarily is a decision for ICANN to see and it's CCNSO, because you've got to go back to the GAC as well. They've got to be in there, and you're going to start to interweave a few of the other. We've got to go back to the ICANN community wording if you want to do that.
So is no sufficient?
Yes.
Anybody?
Avery?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. You know, the more I look at it, the more I think we're complicating it, and Edmund had the right idea.
Okay, so no,
yeah, I mean,
nothing
I had
further.
Originally thought that they had to be consulted, but I'm willing to go along with no.
Now, Aubrey, I do have a question for you. Would that response meet your brevity criteria?
Yeah.
Good, okay. All right, thanks. That's a nice brief one, isn't it? Okay, and then if not, who can apply to have the IDN CCTLD delegated, et cetera. And we have a proposed response there with some edits by Aubrey.
Yeah, this is much more where the content of Avery's last response becomes applicable, I think. Although I'd like to use this as a decision for the ICANN community rather than ICANN and the CCNSO with other supporting organizations and advisory communities. Our committee.
Well, I think we've already conceded the fact that once the allocation decision or apportionment decision is made, then it does become a CCNSO responsibility with input from the rest of the community.
We have, because I don't agree with that.
Don't agree with
No, because as I mentioned before, there are a number of organisations that, a number of countries that aren't in the CCNSO, territories, excuse me, that aren't in the CCNSO. So why should the CCNSO have that power?
Well, Adrian, then you're disagreeing with something we have already agreed to. So I think we're
probably... Yeah, okay. I didn't realize we had. That's why I opened this.
If you go back to Section A, all the way up to Section A, you'll find that that point number three says the CCNSO should be primarily responsible for
ICMPLD
policies.
Yeah, that's an oversight on my behalf. I don't want to drag everyone down. I'll bite the bullet and bring it up at an appropriate time.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's... Do you disagree with number three? That they should be responsible for... I mean, in the ICANN world, I mean, that's the way it's divided right now. Granted, there are people that have elected not to be members, although they're not prevented from participating in the policy development process. I understand the issue you're raising, but I don't know where else we'd go. Do you let, or are we going to end up with some subset of CCTLDs out there who decide not to recognize policies set by ICANN and the CCNSO and therefore do their own thing?
No, see, this is where I wanted to have the backing of a you know, where I thought we were relying upon an agreement. You know, as in a contract with ICANN that would rope all that in. So I figured potentially it was going to be government entities that did the bidding on behalf of, you know, the government and the CCNSO potentially worked, or the GAC and the CCNSO potentially worked together to apportion. But that's as I say, I don't want to. We've got a lot to get through, Chuck. I'm happy to bite my tongue and bring it up another time. But I think that there is a fundamental problem with that.
Yeah, how do you solve that problem?
This is why I'm trying to buy some time here, Chuck.
Maybe I should just let you. Obviously, we don't have any more time in this group to do that. So what's our decision right now with regard to that? So we're at the if not, who can apply? So, Adrian, do you have a problem with the response as modified by Avery, including replacing sovereign government with territorial authorities?
No, I do not. That's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Does it help to make it clear that this is a policy decision for the GNSO? Or something like that, rather than just say this is a decision, even if that may be clear enough.
I can go either way on that. So the answer to the question is a decision they have to make. You could also call it a policy decision. Any inclination by anybody? So
this whole thing gets solved as if they turn around, Chuck, and they say, if ICANN says, in order for you to have your own IDN CCTLD, you must sign a contract with ICANN and you must be a member of the CCNSO. And then if people turn around and say, we don't want to do that, then they just go, bad luck, you're not getting your IDN.
And have a revolution.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just talking utopia. It's called Adrian's utopia, granted, but it's utopia nonetheless.
I mean, that would be nice if they had to have contracts, too.
Because then we can, rely upon that, the whole, one-to-one-to-one ratio working well. But anyway, that's kind of pipe dream.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I think we do have to balance a little bit with some reality here if we want to be effective.
That's right. Otherwise,
Okay. Liz, are you okay with A?
I'm not sure where we are.
Okay. We're going to basically incorporate the edits, minus her spelling errors that Avery communicated there.
Okay.
So you're going to insert the first bracketed thing that she suggests.
Right, got it.
And then as applicable, and then instead of sovereign government, you're going to have territorial authorities.
Okay, got it.
Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. And then we get to who decides on the delegation, and in particular, particular, are there specific reasons for deviating from the standard practice guidelines, et cetera. Now this one, our response, our original response, I don't think is very good here. Aubrey's may be a better direction. What do people think there? And Aubrey, do you want to talk about yours? Aubrey, are you still on?
Sorry, I was talking with mute. I'm in an area with other people occasionally, so I've been muted. Sorry. Basically, what I was trying to say, in some of these large communities, there is a large, significant diaspora, and I'm not saying they get to decide by any means, but I am saying that they should be included, and this is sort of a different way of saying the language community. But the language community always gets confusing because people say, what? If I study 5 years of French, I have something to say about the TLD for French. And of course, that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about the gigantic, you know, national associating diaspora. Diaspora is the best word to apply to it. So that's what I was trying to say. We should sort of say they should be, those communities should have standing in the discussion.
Now, how do we word that in such a way that we're actually responding to the question, though?
Yeah.
Because they're asking.
Well, is there a specific reason for deviating? Yes, in cases of a significant diaspora, there should be consideration to concluding them in the decision process. So I was specifically answering that question.
Very good. No, I'm with you now. I missed that.
Now, there may be other reasons, but mine was an attempt to specifically answer at least one case in which, there's a reason to deviate. There may be others.
And so we could actually take what you say and replace it with what's there, and I think it's a better response. What do others think? Any disagreement in that? Any
others? You could say, yes, for example, in the cases of if you wanted to leave open the possibility that there could be other rationale.
That's good. Anybody disagree with that approach?
Right. And if you liked what you had there before, you could go on to another sentence saying, another aspect to be considered would be, the local legitimacy or something like that. But if you wanted to keep that content in.
Yeah, and there were members of the little group that I headed up on writing this the first draft that thought that was pretty important. I'm not sure I can,
Well, it comes in the next bullet point.
So it actually fits better in the next one, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is already covered there.
Let me just ask you, in the sentence that we've confirmed, is there a better word for them? There should be consideration to including them in the decision process. Are we talking about the local internet community? We're talking about
that population, then,
that population, that common,
that community, that population,
that community. Okay, I like that. Okay, thanks.
So, anybody opposed to just taking the just modified sentence and replacing with what was there, or replacing what was there? Okay. You got that, Liz?
Now, we've moved on then to consent?
Is consent, involvement, knowledge of government required? We're moving there right now.
Okay.
And
yeah, I got the previous then. We deleted the second sentence.
And then that... and as Aubrey, I think you were...
You can drop my notes because I think it's covered in the one above.
Okay. And so you're okay with the response that's there?
I'm not sure. It may be useful to clarify legitimacy by encouraging. I think the wording choice is difficult. I guess I don't really understand it. What does the government have to do with local legitimacy? Are we saying in cases where you don't have a legitimate government, in cases where the person applying may or may not be legitimate?
I think they were actually probably all of the above were in different scenarios, but
I see.
This wasn't a something that was a big issue for me, but there were those who thought it was important.
Clarify legitimacy. I don't understand clarify legitimacy.
Maybe we ought to, you know, I'm not pushing for what's there myself, okay? Should we just say what you say there and kind of repeat what's being said above?
Well, it's not quite the same answer.
No, it's not. No, you're right. You know.
I mean, we
do
we
mean substantiate legitimacy? Yes.
Determine?
Determine.
Determine is strong.
Yep.
Substantiate
support.
Less strong.
So how about support legitimacy? Many things would go to supporting the legitimacy of an application, you know. So it may be useful to support the legitimacy of an idea in CCTLD.
Okay. I like that.
Now, I think, though, it says, is consent, and as we're saying involvement and knowledge, yes, are we saying consent, yes, or do we want to add a specific sentence that says, you know, we do not believe that government consent should be required?
That's
or,
probably going to be a local government issue, whether it's required or not. But,
right.
And they're, you know, basically asking, are any one of those things required? And you could also conclude, are all three required, or are just one of them required? So maybe if we just go with what you previously said, it might work.
Okay.
Would you read that back, Liz?
Just what was originally there?
No. What Aubrey's suggested change.
I didn't get it.
Oh, okay.
Well, the only change we had so far was to support legitimacy.
Yeah, that I've got.
That's right.
Okay.
That
it may be useful to support legitimacy of an idea in CCTLD by encouraging government involvement and knowledge, particularly in cases where local legitimacy is in question.
I don't understand how that final phrase helps.
Yeah, I don't think it does, and I didn't think we were trying that we wanted.
Hey, Chuck, this is Tina.
Huh?
I wonder. I think if I remember right, a couple of other times in the document, you guys have referred to, you know, the GAC making such a decision when they talk about whether a government needs to be involved or not. So, I'm just wondering if you're now trying to provide some, you know, added information from the GNSO where, in fact, really previously you've said this is what the GAC should be talking about.
Thoughts on that from others? Now, is this a question? I'm comfortable with the one response we have right now, but another option is to just put a no response.
I think that, yes, at other places we do say a lot of things belong to our decisions that happen in the GAC, but I would think that we don't want to come down as tacitly approving that there must, in all cases, be government consent of a delegation or an allocation. So perhaps we do want to add a sentence that says, it should not be necessary, you know, or it is not necessary in all cases, or something. Because as it stands now, we're saying that it's worth considering, but we really leave open the question of whether governments should have a right of consent for all IDN CCTLD delegations.
Mm.
And
don't
I
know
like
that we
your
want to say that.
Aubrey. Yeah, I like. How would the would be phrase Aubrey? I like the idea.
Okay.
Only if needed or something like that.
Why can't we say whilst we potentially advise the government to be involved, it may not be necessary. Why not do it in that order?
Okay, yeah.
Because I think that then sort of we do get that theme going through the document.
Right, so you're saying we start out, while government advice should be considered, it should not be necessary to obtain government consent. How's that work?
Sounds pretty good.
Well, instead of should say may, it may not be necessary.
Okay.
So what do we got? What's it say now?
Okay.
Avery, do your bit.
Okay. While government advice... Oh, what did I say? Well, government advice is advisable.
Should be considered. It may not be necessary
to obtain government consent. It may not be necessary to obtain government consent.
And that is to follow...
That's just it. I'm wondering if it follows or does it precede? What were you indicating, Adrian? In some
I
sense,
think proceed.
Yeah, in some sense, the second sentence follows nicely from it afterwards. The following may be worth considering in this regard. What regard? The one we just said. It may be useful to support legitimacy of an idea by encouraging government.
Yeah. I think it works.
Yeah, it works better to have the sentence we just did at first.
Okay. Proposed GNSO response. While government advice should be considered, it may not be necessary to obtain government consent. The following may be... worth considering in this regard. It may be useful to support legitimacy of an idea in CCLT by encouraging government involvement and knowledge. But do you want the last phrase?
Yeah, keep the last... go on.
Particularly in cases where local legitimacy is in question.
Maybe we don't need to say that.
Yeah, I think that's...
Now,
worth dropping.
The lead-in to that second sentence, though, read that again to me.
The following may be worth considering in this regard.
Do we really need that? Or could we just jump right into it? Maybe useful to clarify legitimacy of an ID and CCDLD by encouraging government involvement and knowledge.
Yeah, that works for me, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm fine on the principle of less is more.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to, is consent involvement knowledge of incumbent CCLD manager required? And there's a response there. There's a reference in the response to the Cato report. Masanobu Cato was a former ICANN board member who chaired that committee. I asked the question whether we really want to refer to that. Aubrey asked why not. My reasoning for why not is that particular report, I'm concerned, I mean, it's got a certain level of legitimacy already because it was done, right? And it was an ICANN board committee, or board-led committee. And it was heavily dominated by CCTLDs. And really, for the most part, ended up ignoring most GTLD input into it because of the domination by the CCTLDs. Now, I'm not saying that the particular point being referenced here is a problem, but I'm just giving you the background of why I asked the question whether we want to reference that here or not.
Okay,
I'm comfortable with what people want to do.
I guess a telltale question would be, do we bring in elements that we prefer not to legitimize by bringing it in? I don't know the report well enough to answer, so I'll go on your answer.
Yeah, and
words,
I haven't gone back and read it for a long time. Yeah.
Is there stuff there that by having given it a mark of legitimacy,
we all of a sudden are stuck with all kinds of stuff we
hate.
Well,
as I recall, and help me, Tina, if you can remember, but as I recall, it certainly came out in a sense that gave the advantage to CC community. G's were an afterthought. It was more important to that that IDNs be implemented in the CCTLD community first, and that was easier to do, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I'm leaning. Now, Tina, am I wrong on that perception, or do you even recall? Because you were in a different role then.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, and I haven't read the report for some time, but it would be worth to go back and look at it. The one thing that I remember from it coming out of it was that an IDN-TLD was an IDN-TLD regardless of if it's a CC or a G or what it is,
yeah.
And that introduction of it should follow whatever the standard process is for introduction of new TLDs. So it's, you know, I don't know. It is sort of like, right, today, the GNSO and the CCNSO have divided, or at least are trying to do that division, right? And this report specifically does not make that division between, or categorization between those two types.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we don't, we're at a point where we don't really have time to go back and look at the report, but, I mean, we can obviously after we finalize the document, but I don't feel really strongly on this. I'm okay leaving it as is, if that's whatever.
I think you answered the why it might not be helpful to reference, so I'm fine with dropping it.
So just deleting that sentence.
You gave me sufficient reason to believe that it may not be helpful.
Now, another thing, too, not too many people are going to be familiar with that report because it's quite old now.
Yeah, but it could drive us all back to read it.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
which
beg,
we probably beg, should be
begs the
anyway.
Question on whether consent of the ASCII CCTLD manager not be required, and, well, as a statement on its own by the GNSS. Without reference to the capital report.
Yeah.
So is anyone in favor of leaving the reference to the Kato report? Okay. So no, and nobody's opposed to deleting that, I assume? So we'll delete that second sentence.
Done.
We should probably delete it in the next one, too.
Exactly. The same thing comes up.
Yeah, and I think it's the same answer.
And by the way, there was one person in the working group that really pushed strong to have that reference in there. And leading the group, I didn't. I tried to stay relatively neutral in it. I raised the same questions. I couldn't raise the same questions in the same sense because it's a different audience. But so then that takes care of both of those.
Well,
but there's
there
were comments.
Issues. Yeah.
More comments. So let's look at the other other comments. And let's see, I would suggest that they do.
Okay, I deleted my last comment, or one of them, and you had basically asked, is it our place? So I was, my original is that, yes, going along with what had been said here, if they had been doing a good job, then they certainly had a right, but then several people argued that I was wrong about that, and that both from the Kato report and from Adrian and from your comment that, nope, those guys don't have a right, and I don't find myself in a position where I feel that I ought to argue for that right, so I'm backing off.
Avery, if I can share some experience in my experience in CCTLD land, it seems that the internet communities in some of these territories have been hamstrung by the current CCTLD managers that were, as I said previously, given their delegated the name in an ad hoc manner because they're in the right place at the right time, and it's been a struggle to try to claw that back. So I think in giving them necessarily, a say puts them in a position of power that they may, once again, hold the internet community to ransom with.
Right, but I guess the questions I have in places where someone has done a good job and has built a brand up and has been responsible, do they have a right to consideration?
Sure they do, but if they're doing a good job, then surely the authority, and whether that's, we're talking about who that is, whether it's the government, and we talked about that before, the CCNSO or whomever, surely that'll be recognised and they can, they can put their hand up then.
That's the essence of what we were trying to say in the first sentence to the original response. You know, we were pretty vague about it because this gets in a fairly political area in that arena, but, if there's, some local legitimacy of the current provider and the user experience has been good for them, then, those are considerations that would be worthy to look at.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Avery, in practice, you're right. I don't think you can make a rule around exactly what you're saying, just because there are times when it won't apply, and they'll try to get some sort of legitimacy. So I think that the proposed response at the moment probably covers it as well enough, because it does talk about only consideration rather than anything else.
Yeah, I think it's fine, as I say.
So we'll just go with that one sentence response. Anybody opposed to that? Okay, jumping down to C.
Hey, Chuck, this is Tina. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to drop off the call to go to another meeting. But I'm going to read through the rest of this stuff and provide any terminology comments that I have.
Right, and Liz will be letting us know on the list in the next few hours. So once she, and I suspect it'll be fairly soon, Liz, is that true, after we get done here?
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking I would turn around and put it into a Word document and just send it to the list.
Okay. Actually, I'm just told that I have 15 minutes more, and then I'm going to drop off.
Okay. Well, good. Well, you won't miss too much then if we're able to keep plugging away here, depending on how long it takes on the executive summary.
So, Tina, if you want to make your corrections in this document before I do it, just email me when you're done, and then I'll take it and convert it.
Okay.
Okay. But you'll be the only one. No one else will do that.
All right.
Okay.
All right. That's fine. C is who will formulate the policy for these responses, and I think that Aubrey provided some good edits there. Again, the territorial authorities replace the sovereign government. Anybody opposed to the changes that Aubrey suggested there? D was just a reference to a previous response up above. I had checked that earlier. It seemed like it still fit. But let's talk about the wording there. Barbara, you were suggesting other contractual conditions. What are you thinking of that's not included in technical, operational, or financial policy?
Yeah, I mean, it basically just...
Policy is somewhat, I guess it really could be thought of as operational, but...
It's true.
Chuck, if I may, I tend... sorry, is I kind of jump in here?
Yeah,
sorry. I think Edmund's on the right track. I think effectively we just say yes. Why do we need any more than that? It doesn't matter in what way, but they should be contractually bound.
I agree with Adrian.
We were trying to be politically astute in this response.
Are you calling me non-politically astute, Scott?
I think so.
I thought we were trying.
You're making me laugh again. That's hard on my throat. That makes me cough, as you can tell. I'm not opposed to that if that's what the group wants to do here. I'm not going to fight that. The is our response going to be just mostly ignored?
I don't think so.
Well,
I think we've done a pretty good job at making sure that we just ignored, and we'll have to keep working on it. But I think that if we, as the GNSO, believe that there should be contracts between ICANN and all ID and CCTLD, then we should say so.
And understanding that neither the GAC nor the CCNSO, or most CCTLDs for that matter, probably all CCTLDs, are going to strongly disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know that they are.
Who do you know that would agree to that?
Well,
keep in mind the differences, Adrian, in the contracts that GTLD registries sign up to, and even the contracts that Japan and Australia and a few of the ones that were willing to assume some relationship there early on, there are huge differences. Now you look at the letter agreements and by the way, I'm on your side on this issue. I guess I hope everybody understands that. I'm just trying to be realistic in what's the best way forward.
Well, what Edmund wrote wasn't quite as blunt as what Adrian said. What Edmund wrote was, you know, if ICANN has a contract or some other form of agreement. And I would take it further and sort of say, has some other form of agreement that covers technical, operational, and financial requirements. To leave out contractual conditions is, yes, I was trying to put
the one. Yeah, I like the way where that's going. I think, so to say, better.
Yes. Yes, ICANN should have a contract or some other form of agreement which includes technical, operational, and financial requirements.
That may include.
May's pretty weak, but okay.
Well, I only say that because it may be that it's only one of those rather than all of those.
Well, as soon as you start eliminating any of them, you're starting to water it down, and you lose your point. But
yeah, I'm heading to what I didn't like about at a minimum from the start. You're right. I probably am diluting it.
Right. We're not saying must. Only should.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The should at the start does that. Okay.
So can you read that back, Liz? Do you have that?
ICANN should have a contract or some other form of agreement that includes technical, operational, and financial requirements.
Now, that's a should. Now, what I would suggest after that is the at minimum sentence, except changing it to a must.
At a minimum, IDN CCTLD operators must be required to follow the ICANN IDN technical guidelines.
I think they're more than technical, or are they just technical?
Okay.
Are they just technical, Tina? They're called, Aubrey, they're called the IDN guidelines.
Right,
so,
okay,
so.
Sure.
Well,
yeah,
the guidelines are sort of like, you know, in between the technical and the policy.
Yeah, so
okay.
I just
yeah,
use the term that
you use. Use the proper term, yes.
Okay.
And then...
Now, do we want? We still come back to this issue of the de facto CCTLDs. If there are any of those, I mean, which, keeping in mind that probably they're not going to buy in very quickly to our suggestion of contracts, maybe they'll buy into the IDN guidelines.
Tuvalu will probably sign a contract if we manage to build them a country.
Yeah, one that.
Sorry, Can I make a point of clarification here, please? I think it's pretty fundamental. Isn't there no such thing as an IDN CCTLD running essentially as a GTLD? There will be no such thing. We've already dictated that and gone on quite a bit about it in this paper. Why are we stating it here? There is no such thing.
Well, if you believe they're going to implement everything we say, that's true.
Yeah, so we don't want to put that in there.
And that being some de facto GTLDs, it seems like it's really important then that there be very similar contracts.
Well, I don't think that there is. I think even the CCNSO were talking about the word meaningful being in there, and I think that that's a very key element of this document in our response. I think to now turn at the last, at the last gasp here in the second to last sentence, and now we're saying that the, we're going to concede that they may not be meaningful. I don't think you need to cover your base on that one, Chuck. I really think that's not.
Adrian, they could have a meaningful CTLD that's operated like a generic TLD.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
Would it help if in the first sentence that we just did, that ICANN should have a contract or some other form of agreement that includes appropriate technical, operational, and financial. So if at some point it drops through to them being GTLD-like, then one can insist that the appropriate operational and financial constraints are thus.
That's a good suggestion. By the way, what I'm this is less for me, guys, than it is for what I'm wondering we're going to encounter on the council. Seeing some of the responses from Tim Ruiz and others, this whole competitive landscape is going to be one that is a bigger issue. But I'm okay with that. Have you got all of that so that I can, in other words, delete the last paragraph on de facto GTLDs, right?
Okay.
Well, just Chuck, on that point, without meaning to take up too much time, can someone explain to me what something is GTLD like? Is that mean in its policy and the fact that it's open for registration, or is it in its, by definition, that its name itself, its string, is able to be utilized for a greater purpose?
Totally open and marketed generically so that no restrictions. It's it's basically in direct competition with GTLDs that are open like that, except they don't have the contractual requirements unless they impose those.
Yeah, I'm still having trouble there, Chuck, because, for example, you can open up at the moment .au globally, and you can market it globally, but it doesn't lose any of its Australian flavour. It simply has no policy around the fact that you have to be Australian to have it. So that's one way to do it. Now, to then turn around and say, well, let's take ME, for example. So before affiliates came along and with ME that's just been rejigged and got a new registry, you could have said that was exclusively for Montenegro. Then they opened it up. Now they're turning around and they're going to promote it as a love.me, help.me, whatever. So it's now being promoted like a GTLD, but it's still the same string. So the point I'm trying to make is in IDN world, there won't be any strings that are allowed to be like another word that can be promoted as such. However, the policy behind it may be that it can be marketed to a global market. Did I make any sense?
No, I'm following you. I guess I'm not sure that that's not a possibility.
But if I can circle back to that's what we were talking about before about the word meaningful. That's what I've been relying upon in this whole document, that Qatar, or let's say Tonga can't come out with a script that they use, and I don't know what script they may use, that means tree, and publicise that. It must be meaningful to Tonga and be a representative of Tonga. They can't go out because they use the Chinese script in Tonga for the word tree, and promote that as a GTLD.
I'm hearing you. rather than dwell on this longer, I'm okay with eliminating that last paragraph. What do we have now?
ICANN should have a contract or some other form of agreement that includes appropriate technical, operational, and financial requirements. At a minimum, IDN CCTLD operators must be required to follow the ICANN IDN guidelines, just like GTLD registries that offer IDNs.
Is everybody comfortable with that response?
Yeah, I might question the phrasing and just be required to follow the same. Oh, never mind, just leave it as it is.
Okay. Anybody opposed to the language? I can support this. Okay. And one more, huh? And then the executive summary. And the last one, Edmund had a comment there, a couple comments actually, mentioning the, should we mention as an example maybe publishing an IDN table?
Well, if you're going to follow the guidelines, then that is a requirement. Sorry, this was Tina. So, you know.
No, I got that, yeah. So should we just add to that list of things in that second sentence, adheres to the IDN protocol, comma, publishing an IDN table, et cetera?
If I understand the question, they're saying, is there anything that's different than what's already being done?
With regard to ASCII?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
so why would the curb fishing activities be different? I guess, yeah. And is, aren't those things included in the IDN
They're included in the registration processes and also the customer support processes and so forth to for a registry that's offering IDNs. So I think this is relevant, and I think the IDN tables is a good thing to add.
Right, an IDN table. And if we want to add mics, you know, with
that's
policies.
That's a proper one to add. How do we add mics here?
With policies to curb phishing.
Well, now we're getting beyond the IDN guidelines and getting into policy that hasn't even been established at the GNSO level, and also gets into what can be out of mission things that hasn't been decided yet with regard to where ICANN's mission is with regard to content. So we're really, I'm all for fighting phishing, don't get me wrong, but we're getting into some areas that it's not as clear where policy is going to go on that, and where ICANN's mission is going to fit into that. I think we're going to make progress in that in coming months, and maybe it'll be years. But we're not there yet. And is this an area that we want to add to this particular topic right now?
We could add. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think our response as it is fine without Edmund's addition.
You mean without Mike's point on phishing? Or without the
IDN table? But it was put in there by Ed.
Yeah, right, he did. Okay, but see, we already added something from Edmund. I wanted to make sure you weren't saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. With respect to Mike's, yes, the phishing activities. It's a can of worms you don't want to go in. Sorry, Chuck, I'm looking at the version on the fly.
That's okay,
so.
Yeah, I understand. So does anybody think that we ought to try and focus on phishing?
We'll have the same exact conversation when we bring it to the council. So we should look now at whether there's any way, for example, to add an extra sentence that says, emerging issues. For example, phishing activity specific to IDN need further investigation or something, so it's acknowledged but not any specific recommendation made.
So maybe we could add a third sentence that says something like there are also emerging issues that may deserve attention. Sorry for the wording. Let me just give you the gist. Deserve attention when IDNs are introduced, and it could be called policy issues or something, and then just put e.g. phishing, or something like that. I see what you're getting at. I think that's a possible approach because you're probably right. At the same time, it's a tough one. It is a can of worms. So
it's a can of worms, but it's one that, we and they are going to have to do some investigative work on in time. I mean,
yeah. What do others think in that regard?
Well, I'm inclined to think that this is a consumer protection issue that certainly is implicated, but along with a bunch of others.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And farming and other means of. Fraud using domain names. So I'm not.
I'm dropping off now. And this time I really drop off. Sorry.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
All right, bye.
thought.
You know, what is ICANN's mandate with regard to those broader issues?
Other thoughts?
I think Avery is right that when we present this to council, it will pop in again. So consideration of emerging issues should also be taken into account.
I like the sentence that Liz put there from the things that Chuck and I had said. There are also emerging issues that may deserve attention when IDNs are introduced, such as phishing.
Yeah.
What do you think about that one, Adrian?
Yeah, in the interest of moving this along. Yeah, I'm happy with it. Yeah.
All right. Is anybody opposed to that? I think that's a way to deal with it and a good solution. Okay. If they want to take it too much further, I think we should probably start getting into trouble. But like Aubrey said, this may be enough to at least show that we listened. Okay. Now, we reach the
executive summary.
Executive summary. Now, hopefully all of you looked at that so that we don't have to go through it in detail. Obviously, I tried to make very clear that I threw in something that we had not agreed to in there, and I tried to highlight it very clearly. And I obviously was trying to anticipate the discussions we're going to have in New Delhi. So how shall we approach this executive summary? Obviously, we have to talk about item number 2. Maybe to start with, are there any other items in the executive summary that that people would like to talk about? Maybe we can just identify those right now. I think, with the exception of what I added in number 2, that they all incorporate things that we said down below. And the idea being, and this was suggested by counsel in L.A., that we, or maybe even before L.A., I can't remember, that I think it was the weekend meeting when we did that, is to create an executive summary so that, because a lot of people aren't going to read this whole document, so we tried to capture the main points. So the kind of questions that I encourage you guys to ask and think about is, have we got the main points in the executive summary? So are there any that we left out that we think are main points that should be there? Secondly, did we capture those points correctly? And then I threw in another little curve in number 2.
Okay, well, 16 will probably need to be adjusted for the language that we just came up with.
Thank you. That's good.
Because 16 is slightly different than what we now have.
Mm-hmm.
I just have been reading these right now.
Good.
I know I read them before. But
yeah, there may be other. And by the way, there may be places where, well, especially in number 2, if we do go with number 2 like I suggested, we probably need to add a little language down in the main body. It's not there right now. So I don't know. We'll see. Any others besides 16 and 2? Well, let's take the easy one first. 16.
You reckon that's easy?
Well, I
okay.
mean, we just worked on it. So, I mean, I don't think it's, I think we're, now, by the way, we don't, do we still want that statement? Actually,
No, we want a contract statement here.
Yeah.
What we want is some version of the contract statement.
Well, keep in mind that we do talk about de facto IDN CCTLDs other places in the document besides the one we're working on.
You want to just pull from that last, ICANN should have a contract or some other form of agreement that includes appropriate technical.
I would be in favor of putting that in the executive summary, yes.
It's one of our key points, I think.
It is a rather key point.